Pastor Taylor in expressing the fact that I am very comfortable that our attendance is not what it usually is today, because we are happy that many have honored the service Sabbath by going out and serving. Let the church say amen. Many of us will be going out this afternoon as well. I'm looking forward to my visit with Sister Hill. That's our member who this next month will turn 107 years old. She is quite a person. You usually sleep when you arrive, but once you start talking, she gets cranked up and can be a very good visit, along with others that I will make. The Holy Spirit is real. Now that's what's on the marquee, because I couldn't get the whole subject on the marquee. The Holy Spirit is a real person. That's the subject of the sermon today. Let us pray. Grant, Lord, today that your word will be heard. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I've treated most of these Holy Spirit sermons, getting a lot of response, getting emails from New Zealand and Australia and the Far East and South America. Many people are joining in with us in the study of one of the church's most vital subjects. Hi, Don. Good to Don Nelson is here, Carol. Sit right over here. Yes. One of the things that I like about this subject is that it is bedrock. No one will be saved who has not been influenced by the Holy Spirit. In fact, your choice to get up this morning and come to church, take no credit for it at all. You were influenced by the Holy Spirit. In fact, you didn't even get up without him. For, as we have read in John 14, he dwells in you. This is the amazement, my brother, that the filth that is Henry Wright is inhabited by the Holy Spirit. Well, that was a pitiful response, so I'll help you. Amen. Glory to God that he has not found me unclean and unacceptable to the point where he will not come in. We sing the song, "Into my heart, come into my heart, Lord Jesus." Well, Lord Jesus is brought into the heart by the Holy Spirit. Do you believe me? Yes, yes. So we're dealing with this. And we have seen that there are three that bear record in heaven. We've talked about that. We've seen that the Holy Spirit is a gift from the Son. The Son is a gift from the Father. We've seen that the Holy Spirit has been active throughout human history, even appearing in Genesis 1, verse 2, "For the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters." Remember that text? Yes, 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 yes. And we have pointed out the fact that the Holy Spirit is a gift that must be valued. And then we learned the other day that the Holy Spirit is another comforter, allos, like Jesus. So whatever Jesus is in characteristic and manner, so the Holy Ghost is another person of the Godhead. And then we learned with amazement last week that even when you are doing your dirt and mess, the Holy Spirit is still with you. See, you thought he left you. But if you did, you couldn't keep breathing while you're sinning. Y'all too calm for me? Guiding, dwelling, hovering. Even when you do wrong, he can't leave you because he knows you're being dumb and stupid. And you need the common sense of the Holy Ghost. Can anybody say amen to that? This is an amazing truth. I'm excited about it. I want you to be. We don't have a sometimey Holy Ghost. Sometimes with you, sometimes not with you, like some friends that we have. Good days, bad days, Holy Ghost. Doing wrong, doing right, Holy Ghost. Isn't that something? Well, praise God for that. Well, let's go to our quote. You know I was going to use it every sermon. Here we go. Here we go. Are you ready? Now, you've read it before, but you and the pastor act like you're reading it for the first time. Now, we lost a little something on the mic, little something. Let's try to get it back. Here we go. Come on. The promised blessing claimed by faith brings all others in its train. Come on. According to the riches of the grace of Christ, keep reading, and he is ready to supply every soul according to the capacity to receive. This is amazing stuff. Let's keep going. Not going to spend a lot of time on this statement today. Let's go to the next part. Come on. If we are willing, come on, read, y'all. If we are willing, all will be filled with the Spirit. Now, we have to pause there. It's hard to just read by that. Because if there is a lacking, if there's a lacking, maybe there's an absence of willingness. Let me put it this way. Maybe you're trying to crowd the Holy Ghost in where you've already got something else. Remember, the function of the Holy Ghost is to throw out the garbage. And you're hanging on to the garbage. He wants it out. So if we're willing, all would be filled with the Spirit. Read on. Wherever the need of the Holy Spirit, I need more people reading. Wherever the need of the Holy Spirit is a matter little thought of, there is seen spiritual drought, spiritual darkness, spiritual declension, and death. Keep going. Whenever minor matters occupy the attention, the divine power which is necessary for the growth of the church and prosperity of the church, and which would bring all blessings, is lacking. There's the pastor's phrase. I love that. Infinite plentitude. No limits. I want you to think about it. Here is a power that has no limits, and it can be yours. Well, it is yours. It is yours. Our problem is, and we'll get to that in one of the sermons, we aren't using the power. I said that wrong. Still learning myself. Our problem is we aren't letting the power use us. Now I got it right. Yeah. Okay. So, what's the issue for today? Our key verse, John 16:13, suggests that the Holy Spirit is a person. Is a what? And also that the Holy Spirit has a mission. That mission is to guide us to all truth. And I believe this refers to the truth about God and the truth about yourself. See, there's two things you have to learn before you can be saved. You have to learn to trust God. You have to learn to distrust yourself. Am I right about it? Yeah. So the Holy Spirit has come to guide us into a knowledge of God, but also to help us see just, I have to say it, the Holy Ghost helps you to see just how messed up you are. That moment of revelation is called conversion. In the moment that the Spirit breaks you down and leaves you seeing that you are helpless by yourself, in that moment, conversion begins. Because now you know it's all about Jesus and not about you. That makes sense? Now, there are four factors I would suggest that indicate that a personality exists. Will, say that word. Intelligence, say that. Power, say that. And the capacity for love. L.E. Froom, one of my favorite writers, suggests in his book, The Coming of the Comforter, Personality, therefore, involves a self-conscious, self-knowing, self-willing, and self-determining being. And this is important to understand, too, when we talk about the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost is not just an extension of the Father, or an extension of the Son. He is a person. Full-fledged person. Who, as we will see next Sabbath, makes decisions on his own. In fact, my subject next Sabbath is the Holy Ghost has feelings. And unfortunately, next Sabbath, you have to come and hear me tell you that some of us are offending the Holy Spirit. Did you hear your response? Hear what you just did? I heard you. But that's next Sabbath. Next Sabbath. A person is a being who is approachable, who can be trusted or doubted, loved or hated, adored or insulted. It is important, I think, that the personality of the Holy Spirit is introduced to us by Christ himself. Christ makes an introduction of the Holy Spirit in John. Who would know better? Christ sends us the Holy Spirit, another like himself, 24 times. How many times? 24 times between chapter 14 and 16 of the book of John, Jesus uses these personal pronouns to describe the Holy Spirit. He, him, whom. He, him, whom are used by Jesus to describe the Holy Spirit. The issue here is not so much about the sexuality of the Holy Ghost, but rather that the Holy Ghost is personal. He is person. You're dealing with a person. Let me ask you a question. If there was a person that you loved and they were with you, wouldn't you avoid trying to do wrong in their face? I set you up. Holy Spirit is a person. And if you love the Holy Spirit, you would like to avoid doing wrong in his face, particularly since he lives in you. Did you follow all of that? See how the pastor set you up? If you would avoid doing wrong in the sight of your mother, whom you respect and hold up, your father, whom you adore, if you would avoid doing wrong in the sight of your spouse, whom you love, then God requires the same kind of intense respect and regard for the Holy Ghost, who also loves you. But the question is, do you love the Holy Spirit? Well, that was a quiet response. Yeah. Jesus speaks of the Holy Spirit as teaching, speaking, hearing, witnessing, declaring, convicting. He's busy, isn't he? These deeds require discrimination, thoughtfulness, and further evidences of personality as we define thus far. So you're dealing with a person, the Holy Spirit. Turn the Holy Spirit into a buddy. I'm going through the day, Frank. Often I'm dealing with things, pastoral things. I will say, Holy Spirit, help me. And he's there, right there. And he's powerful. So why am I struggling alone? Holy Spirit, help me. No, I don't say, Jesus, help me. I say, Holy Spirit, help me. You know, every now and then, he ought to get his due. So let's talk about some of these characteristics that identify the Holy Spirit as person. Are you with me? Now, we're going to go through several texts, so use your Bible or watch the screen. Stay off the phone. 1 Corinthians 2. I'm just messing with you. I know you got your phone out already. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 11. Ready? Let's read. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. No one knows the things of God. No one knows. Who knows? What does the text say? Who knows the things of God? The Spirit of God has knowledge. That's all I'm trying to say. He's a person. He has knowledge. He's got stuff in his head. And he knows the things of God. Now, if the Holy Spirit is my buddy and my friend, and he knows the things of God, and I know him, then he's going to help me do what? Know God. That's why when pastor studies, prepares a sermon, the first thing I say is, Holy Spirit, help me. Because he has knowledge. In fact, I'm studying his book. All scripture is given by the inspiration of the... Yes. So when I open his book, why wouldn't I ask the author to help me with his book? Yes. He's a smart guy. Look at here. All this come from the Holy Spirit. And he used 40 different people to do it in 1,500 years. That's a genius. Holy Spirit's a genius. Why are y'all so quiet? Genius. I have friends in high places. The Holy Ghost. And I'm going to tell you, without boasting or seeming like I'm showing off, my wife knows, I get to write in a sermon, and the Holy Ghost is to talk. I can't keep up with his knowledge. Sometimes Nicole has to say, hold up, Lord, hold up. Because it's so good, I can't get it down. Never open the Bible without asking the author to help you. Some of this dumb stuff coming out of your mouth about the Bible would not come out. I know when you haven't asked the Holy Ghost to help you study the Bible, it's the stuff you say. Don't make no sense at all. So, he has knowledge. Next text, 1 Corinthians 12:11. Read, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each as the Holy Spirit has will. First, he has what? Knowledge. Secondly, what? Will. As he wills. Your gifts are given to you by the Holy Spirit as he decides. If you have a gift, it's from the Holy Spirit. He decided it. We talk about the gifts of the Spirit all the time, but do you understand what you're saying? He decided. Well, who better to decide, J.P. Willis? Who better to decide when he lives in you? Come on, people. So the Holy Spirit knows what you can do and can't do. So, if you have a gift from the Spirit, it's your size. It fits you. Or he wouldn't have given it to you. He lives inside of you. He knows where you're weak, where you're strong, what you can, what you can't do. So he gives you gifts according to the things already inside of you. That's why you played the piano so well. Holy Spirit looked inside of you and said, this brother, I think I can use his fingers. So Mallory can play. I can't play nothing. But I can preach. He looked inside of me and said, hey, I think I can use this man. See what I'm saying, folk? Some of y'all are just nice. Some of the nicest folk on the planet are sitting here right now. Holy Spirit gave you the gift of niceness. Isn't that something? Thank God for the nice people. Some folks can pray. Holy Ghost said, here's a person who's got good knees. I'm going to give them the prayer, the gift of prayer, because they know how to kneel down and talk to God. Gives as he wills. I like that concept. He has knowledge. He has will. Third thing he has, Romans 8:27. Oh, this blows me. This really gets Romans 8:27. Yeah. See it? Now, come on. Now he who searches the hearts. Stop! The Spirit has what? A mind. Knowledge, what's the next one? And then mind, the mind. You know, Cordell, I'm trying to conceive of what's the mind of the Spirit? What a mind. He's holding Sam. Good to see you. Good to see you. I married those two people. Yeah, right there looking at him. Mm-hmm. The Holy Spirit, what a mind, Carl, because he's able to occupy all minds at the same time and not lose his mind. Fool him with us. Somebody say amen. That brother's got a mind. He's looking at all this stupidity in us. You'd think that we would blow the Spirit's mind, but his mind is so powerful, he can absorb all of our stuff and still keep his own mind. Somebody better say amen out there. That's the kind of Holy Ghost we got. All these 6,000 years of us, we haven't driven the Holy Ghost crazy. The mind of the Spirit. My, what a concept. Also, look at Acts 15:28. Let's put that up there. Come on. For it seemed good. Read it, everybody. For it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay upon you no greater burden. Holy Spirit and to us. The Holy Spirit. Paul acknowledges that the Holy Spirit was involved in what they were doing. The mind of the Spirit. I wrote this down. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, every work of God's appointment is to be elevated and ennobled and made to witness for the Lord. Man must place himself under the control of the what? Eternal what? Mind. Whose dictates he is to obey in every particular. So the Holy Spirit is an eternal mind. Well, what do we have so far? What's the first one? He has. Then he has. And now he has. Yes, Romans 15:30. Here's the next one. Romans 15:30. Read. Now I beg you, brethren, through the Lord Jesus Christ. Through the what? Spirit loves me. Come on, do this. Hug yourself. Spirit loves me. Come on, do it. Hug yourself. Spirit loves me. Spirit loves me. Spirit loves me. I have to believe sometimes, young man, that I get hugs from the Holy Ghost. Yeah. Every now and then I do right, y'all. I do right. Do what's right. He hugs me. Keep it up, Henry. What a wonderful thing to know. And the thing, here he is again. Here he is. Muhammad, this Holy Spirit we're talking about, he can hug you and me at the same time. We don't have to be in the same room. Isn't that wonderful? I think we ought to put our hands together for the Holy Spirit, for his love. What a marvelous being he loves. He's real, Nadri. He loves me. I wish you were more excited about it, that he loves you. He loves you. Holy Spirit loves you. And you're going to hear one of my sermons. The Holy Spirit will say to the devil, get back. Come on, Anwar. He'll let the devil know, hey, I'm here, I'm here, I'm here, I'm here. And we'll preach on a parable in the Bible where when the devil shows up, the Holy Ghost opens the door. Occupy! Isn't that something? All right, that's coming, that's coming. Now the last thing. What do we have so far? Knowledge, will, mind. One last thing for today. Service day. Can't preach all day. 2 Corinthians 13:14. Come on. 2 Corinthians 13:14. Come on now. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God. Now, what is this communion of the Holy Spirit? Come on, we're just in class. Somebody, what does the word communion mean? Just shout it out. Interaction, togetherness, communion. I'm still looking for another word. Communion. Y'all driving me crazy. Communion. Yeah. The conversation. The Holy Spirit likes to talk with me. The world is full of people who have nobody who will listen to them. The Holy Spirit will listen to you. Come on and say amen, y'all. This is an intelligent mind, Tony, intelligent mind, and he will listen to Henry Wright. Now remember, this is a person so powerful, he moves upon the waters of an uncreated earth and things begin to happen. He's that powerful, but he wants to commune, talk, have conversations with me. Thank you, Lord. So, the Spirit is here with us to carry out God's mission. We learned in John 16, 7 that he had to go away, Jesus, for the Spirit to come, because the Holy Spirit plans to work through us. Let's put those two statements up there, fellas. The first one from Councils on Health, the second one, Our Father Cares. Read, the Holy Spirit seeks to abide in each soul. If he is welcome, start with if. If he is what? See, one of the things you will find in studying the Holy Spirit, you have to ask. You know, see, here's the thing about God, Delbert, that keeps leaving me speechless. He has the power to just bulldoze me over, and yet he waits to be invited. So, let's read it again. The Holy Spirit seeks to abide, come on everybody, in each soul, if he is welcomed as an honored guest. No. He's not interested in being the gardener, or the butler, or the maid. What kind of welcome does the Holy Ghost want? Read on. Those who receive him will be made what? Complete in Christ. Read on. The good work begun will be finished. The holy thoughts, heavenly affections, and the Christ-like actions will take the place of pause. Wouldn't you like to get rid of impure thoughts? Let me see how brave. Raise your hand. I mean, you just confessed that you have impure thoughts. That's just one. My hand went up too. He's going to replace impure thoughts. What else? Perverse sentiments. That's jealousy. You know, don't like Nicole because she can sing better than you. She can sing better than 90% of the people on the planet. So keep on reading. And rebellious acts. He will replace. James, he's going to take, I told you, he takes out the garbage and replaces it with holy stuff. Now we just read it. And this is the reason why sometimes you have rough days. Let me explain it to you. Because some of the stuff in us that is bad is so deep, Holy Ghost has to yank on it. Thank God for his patience. Yeah. Let's read the next statement. The Holy Spirit puts forth its highest energies. Wait a minute. This is energy that can make a world. Read on. To work in heart and mind. The grace of God enlarges and multiplies their faculties, and every perfection of divine nature comes to their assistance. So, let me sum it up. The Holy Spirit draws you, John 16, 13. Then God sends an angel to protect you. Matthew 18, 10. Then the Holy Spirit helps you develop a prayer life. Romans 8 and verse 26. Then the Holy Spirit warns you of Satan's deceptions. Isaiah 30, 21. There's a word behind you saying this is the way. He convicts you and stirs your conscience when you ignore him. John 16:8. When you ignore the Holy Spirit, he doesn't go away and pout. He keeps working on you. Amen. He takes ownership of you. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. Let's read that one. Put it on the screen. That's delicious text. Come on, y'all. Or do you not know? I need help. Or do you not know that your body is the temple who is whom you have from God, and you are not your own? Read on. For you were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. He owns us, Linda. Holy Ghost owns us. Then fruit begins to sprout, Galatians 5:22. And then gifts are distributed, 1 Corinthians 12:4-11. Simple sentence. The Holy Spirit leads you from justification to eternity. You ain't never done one decent thing in your life without the Holy Spirit. You've never said thank you without the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit now that is moving through the many members of our church who right now are out in the community, not sitting here with us. And I'm glad that you're here. Some of us have yet will go out to our assignments this afternoon. The Holy Spirit will go with you. Wow. What a gift. Why don't we have more Holy Spirit power in the Seventh-day Adventist Church? Well, we read it at the beginning of the sermon. Where the Holy Spirit is little thought of or discussed, where the Holy Spirit is replaced by minor matters, there's no great mystery here. So I'm right back where I was at the end of every sermon thus far. Will this, you didn't do it last week, will this be the week where you find an hour? Let's go 30 minutes. Where you get on your knees and pray for the Holy Spirit. Remember, no, don't pray for grocery money. We read. If you have the Holy Ghost, all the other stuff comes in its train. So put the important thing first. Don't pray for money for the bills. Don't even pray for healing for your body. Pray for the Holy Spirit. He'll take care of the rest. Will this be the week when you set aside some time? Brother Dormer? By yourself now, not in a group, you and the Holy Spirit. First, apologize that you've never made him important. Not really. And then ask him to possess you. It's not going to happen unless you provide the opportunity. Do you believe me? Everybody on your knees, let's pray. Everybody kneeling. You'll sing, then we'll pray. Listen to the words of the song. You're kneeling. Those who can, if you can't, you just can't.